T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Right now on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline, it's our good friend Dave Zastado, former Brown, former Ohio University superstar, and of course, the pride of Bay as well. How are you, Dave? How are you?
Good, Andy. How you doing? Thanks for having me on.
Oh, we're excited that you're with us, except for the aftermath of last night. All right, tell me, what were your thoughts on last night's game? Give me the big picture.
Well, I was concerned, first and foremost, because any time that, in my experiences, an East Coast team goes to the West Coast, specifically and especially after a big game against an AFC North rival, you know, my fear was going to be the letdown, you know, coming out slow, lethargic. But at the same time, I knew San Francisco was coming off a bye week early in the season where obviously starters didn't play a lot in preseason. So I was expecting a little bit of a slow start from them too. I was just a little bit disappointed in our preparation and our, you know, our overall attitude as we came out of this game. The team just did not look aggressive. It looked like the offensive line, which is becoming an issue, in my opinion, against good defensive fronts, they were just getting blown off the ball, and it's just causing the quarterback, Baker Mayfield, to roll out and get out of the pocket. And what's frustrating about that is that's starting to become even a go-to move for him, even if the pocket does protect him. So there's definitely some issues going on offensively, and last night was a perfect example of a good coaching staff understanding where to attack this Browns offense, and quite frankly, it was quite embarrassing.
Dave, do you think most of Baker's issues now are offensive line related, play calling related, Baker related, or some odd combination of the three?
I think right now, and Baker is always a team first guy, and he's never going to throw somebody under the bus. But if you really watch that tape and watch that game, that defensive line manhandled offensively, specifically on the offensive line of the pass rush. And I think as a quarterback, specifically after the L.A. Rams game, this was a similar defensive front. They got after the quarterback. They were great on the defensive ends. I don't know why we had a tight end blocking Nick Bosa early on in the game. But I think he's getting frustrated because he's getting back, and once he's back there, he sees guys in his face. And I don't care what quarterback you have back there, Tom Brady and Rodgers, makes it a tough time for him to make the accurate throw and make the read. So I think a lot of it has to do with the trust up front. But at the same time, you know, if they know that offensive line, specifically against good defensive fronts, is going to have some issues, we got to be able to change the offensive game plan to get that ball out quickly.
All right, Dave, when you hear someone got out-coached, what does that mean, and do you think the Browns got out-coached yesterday?
You know what? That's hard for me to say. I got a lot of respect for Freddie Kitchens. I've been with him in Arizona, so I know he's a good football coach. I think what happens sometimes, it's a team that's still trying to find their identity, specifically on the offensive side of the ball. And I think last week against Baltimore, we saw a little bit of that, but I still think if you watch the tape, they were still trying to find themselves even in that game. And I think it's just going to take some time still. But I think Freddie Kitchens is a good football coach. He's a hard worker. He's going to always take the blame and never put it on the players. But I think what was disappointing, I'm sure the coaching staff and even the players will say it, is as that second half came out and they marched right down the field after halftime, it seems like the guys kind of rolled over a little bit, and there wasn't a lot of fight. And two specific examples of that was when I think it was Debo Samuel or maybe George Kittle got the ball to catch on third down, and they converted two downs in a row, and they broke tackles, and they fought for that first down. And I think that those two plays, in my mind, kind of defined the attitude of both teams last night.
Dave Zastado joining us. Dave, Richard Sherman wasn't happy that Baker didn't shake hands at the coin toss. And Nick Bosa after the game said, you know, Baker had that one coming. And so the Niners, as if they needed any more inspiration, were ready to try and pummel Baker last night. If you're a teammate, are you thinking, hey man, let's just go play and win, and or do you want him putting out that kind of a front and getting other teams fired up at him?
I mean, my personal opinion, Jeff, you got to respect the coin toss, respect your opponent. The game hasn't started. Listen, if you want to beat somebody, beat them on the field of play. Actions speak louder than words, and I thought the perfect guy I've ever played with that showed that was Larry Fitzgerald. Respected the game, respected the refs, and his actions spoke louder than words. And I think what happens sometimes is, you know, Baker, that's part of his personality. He wants to win. If you're not orange or brown, you don't matter. And I think that they really feel that way, and I don't think he meant that as disrespect to Richard Sherman. I just think he said, hey, we're on the game. We're at the coin toss. We want to beat you. And after the game, if we want to hug and shake hands, we can do that. I just think that it just depends on the personality of the player. And you're going to get a lot of people that say, you know, Baker should have shook his hands. But I truly feel that he is such a competitor. He thought that was the right way. I'm not going to tell him if it was right or wrong. I just think personally as a player, shaking hands before a game to show respect to your opponent is probably the better way to go.
Dave Zastidel joining us on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Let me ask you about one of your specialties, obviously punting. Jamie Gillen looks outstanding. I mean, you want to talk about the guy that played the best last night for the Browns? The hammer was the hammer last night, and it could have been worse if he didn't have some of those great punts that he had last night. What's your assessment of him early on, and was he your guy coming out of camp? That's another question.
First of all, you know, the guy just played outstanding. I mean, 56.7-yard average, four inside the 20, and I think the one touchback he had was like a 71-yarder. He's very compact in his form. You're never going to – and I can't say never, but most likely he will never get a punt block because he's so quick in his get-off. He's very compact, well, kind of like the Gris Gardocki was when he was here. Very quick get-off, powerful, strong. And I think John Dorsey and the coaching staff saw that in preseason. I think they just had to confirm that he could do what he did in practice on the game field. And when you're looking at a Britton Colquitt that's probably making $2.7, $3 million more than a Jamie Gillen, they're saying, hey, I got a guy that – we got an offense that we think is going to drive the ball. If we get stalled, we need a guy to place the ball. And if we get backed up for some strange reason, we got a guy that can boot it. This guy combined both of those skills, and they saved money. So I think preseason really benefited a guy like Jamie Gillen, and he's, in my opinion, one of the top punters in the league right now.
All right, let me throw this one at you real quick, too. Say you're punting in a game like last night's game, and it's late, and you know your team is up, and the way it was last night for the Niners, and you see Odell Beckham Jr. standing on the other side, what would be going through your mind? Not that you should care who's going to return it, but I still think it was a little like, I'm surprised they put him back there that late to return a punt. What would your thoughts have been if you were standing on the field?
Well, what I would have done is I probably would have taken it. There would be no difference. And as a punter, you don't really – you're cognizant of who's back there, and you know what they can do. And if you see a guy like that, and we're already – usually you never punt the ball down the middle. The coach is going to call left, right. We have certain terminology for it. But at that point in stage, I'm going to try and get the ball a little higher. I'm going to try and get it angled towards the sideline and trust that my guys are going to you know, stay in their lanes and make the play. I think that at the point of the game, I think Freddie was just, in my opinion, or Mike Prever, is trying to just get a spark out of this team. And I know it was late in the fourth quarter, but, you know, you never know what goes on in the sidelines. I've been in games before where Ed Reed's gone up to Brian Billick and say, hey, listen, put me back there, coach. I want to catch this. I'm going to make a play. And, you know, Brian Billick's like, hey, if Ed Reed's motivated to go make a play, I'm not going to stop him. So, you know, people were kind of, you know, kind of arguing why he was put back there if we didn't go for fourth downs early on. But, hey, listen, you got a competitor back there trying to make a play. And, you know, it's hard to really judge that when they just try to get some spark to get their team going, getting some momentum as it goes into Seattle.
Dave, the thing that's a little befuddling to me right now, and it's only five games, but they've had two absolute stinkers. You know, the first one against Tennessee and then last night. But sandwiched in between, they had three pretty good games. You know, a 20-point win over a bad Jets team, you're supposed to beat them, you did. You're going into the final seconds against the team that went to the Super Bowl out of the NFC. You had a chance to tie it up, you didn't do it for whatever reason you want to throw in there. And then they really pretty much handled Baltimore. So how do you – can you possibly explain the inconsistency in between those middle three games, Dave, and the two games on the outside that were just absolute duds?
No, I think it's a great question. I think my observation of it, Jeff, is here's the team. You got a young team. You got a young quarterback. If you look at the age of the Cleveland Browns, they are still a developing team, whether you like it or not. And I think what happens is the first game in Tennessee, there was a lot of hype. Nobody played together in preseason except for the practices in Indianapolis. And penalties just destroyed the game plan. And it just was not being out there together. But at the same time, in the third quarter, we were only down one score. And then we beat ourselves. We turned the ball over. And then what's happening in last night, Antonio Callaway catches that ball. It's a 14-10 game unless they go for two. And you're right in the game. But the problem is they force an interception. They already had a long run from Breida, I believe, or the other running back coming early in the game. And then they lost it. And so you're looking at two games when adversity hit. The team didn't respond, and they lost it. Now, when they didn't have the turnovers against the Jets, well, the Jets were a pretty bad team, Baltimore, and they got the running game going. They weren't beating themselves, shooting themselves in the foot. The momentum kept going. So what I look at is you have a young, developing team that when adversity's hitting, they're not responding right now. They don't have the leadership or the acumen to go, hey, guys, listen, yeah, we turned that ball over. We're still in this game. We got half to play. And I think with a young team, when adversity hits, you have to go through these growing pains to learn from it. And I think it's going to benefit them in the long run. It's just painful right now that we're just not responding to adversity.
Dave, I got one last question. We got to let you go here. Can Baker Mayfield step up and be the leader? What can he do to become the leader and kind of flip the fortunes around here towards next week, especially on a short week against Seattle?
Well, you know, he's the leader of the football team. He's got a lot of moxie, a lot of confidence. That can't go away because teams, NFL players, they always look to the quarterback, and I think he's a very good one. He's got a lot of personality. He's got to keep that going. But I do think, you know, if like any team, there's things you got to get corrected. And I think, you know, keeping him a little bit more time to throw in the pocket, developing plays that get him going early. But at some point, you got to look at yourself too. I mean, that fumble that he had, the first interception, there's things you have to look internally and say, I got to play better. I just got to play better. But I think the team overall, I know it was a hard game last night. It was a really, really bad loss. There's no question. They're still trying to find their identity. And I think once they find that identity, I think you're going to see the Browns do kind of what they did last year and go on some kind of winning streak. But right now, they got to find it. They can't feel sorry for themselves. This is one game out of first place. But I think they got to get back to basics, and I think Baker's got to keep up that leadership, moxie-type mentality because that's what's made him successful.
Dave, always a fan. Thank you very much. Appreciate your time, and we will talk to you soon.
All right, thanks, guys, for having me on.
All right, Dave Zastin.
Thank you,
former
David.
Former Brown, former Raven, former Cardinal as well. Nice enough to join us and break down last night's game. And, of course, he was on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Of course, you can also hear him on the Browns Radio Network as well.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.